It is with a certain amount of sadness that I come out here today to preach to you on this Forgiveness Sunday. As all of us know, our blessed and Holy Father, Pavlos, an Archbishop of America, is in the hospital very sick. And it's hard for each of us to understand why at this great time this would befall upon us, upon our church, and upon our bishop. We do have the promise from the Father and from Christ Himself that He would send us a Comforter, the Holy Spirit. That He would send us, and that all those who mourn at one point, the tears would be wiped away, and we would come to understand these great mysteries of why there is suffering and pain and sadness in this world. The hardest thing for any of us to do, brothers and sisters, is to learn to forgive. And today on Forgiveness Sunday, Christ has told us that if we do not forgive the transgressions of those who have sinned against us, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. You may ask, when is the day of forgiveness? The day of forgiveness is today. None of us know what will happen to us tomorrow. None of us know how much longer we will have on this earth. There are numerous examples of those who thought they had more time and did not have enough. We should long to forgive others with the same fervor that many of us long to satisfy our passions and our pleasures in this life. We should, as a dry land thirsts for water, we should thirst for forgiveness. We should live for reconciliation. How many of us have friends we've grown angry with, relatives, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers who have hurt us that we have not opened our hearts to them and forgiven them? How many of us spend our entire lives harboring hurt and injustice? St. Paul has said, why not learn to suffer injustice? Why not learn to suffer wrong? Christ has said, if you go to make a sacrifice at the altar and you have something against your brother, go and reconcile to your brother and then go make your offering. What tremendous wrong could have been done to any of us that can exceed the wrong which was done to Christ on the cross, that was done to Christ by the people whom He nurtured and loved over so many hundreds of years? What wrong could we have suffered that equals to the wrong which we have done to the Creator of the world? Treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's nothing in this world, no good thing in this world, no human being in this world that matches up to the treasures which we have waiting for us in heaven if we live a godly life. If we live a life full of love and forgiveness and compassion and understanding and the willingness to suffer wrong. How many of us are willing to suffer wrong? Are willing to suffer injustice is done to us and to forgive those, to hang like Christ on the cross and look down upon those who have hurt us and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There isn't anyone who does wrong that doesn't do it with a certain amount of ignorance of what they're doing, not thinking of the consequence. Our lives hang in the balance every single day. What are we going to do with them? Are we going to choose darkness? Are we going to choose light? Are we going to choose a path of forgiveness or one of hatred and harboring the wrong within our heart? It's like a seed which ultimately grows to destroy us. It's like a cancer which grows within us and kills us finally. We have to learn to forgive. And that forgiveness means complete and total reconciliation and embrace of those who have hurt us. And we have to learn to seek the forgiveness of other people. If we have wronged someone, we must go out and reconcile it now. We don't have tomorrow. None of us is guaranteed another minute of life. How many of us, when we go outside, have relatives we haven't spoken to, or friends we haven't spoken to in years because they hurt us? We are called today, before we begin the fast, to forgive. Because it's pointless, utterly pointless, for us to fast and to pray if we have no forgiveness in our heart. It accomplishes nothing. We are like those great actors of old, holding those masks in front of our faces, thinking that we have fooled the world. We may be able to fool our ignorant and blind brothers, but we cannot fool God. God sees our hearts, and He knows the motives why we behave in the way we behave. We cannot fool God, and God expects us to forgive. As Adam and Eve were tossed out of the garden for disobeying God, He came and He cut skins for them, and He took care of them. For every rebellion the Jews made against Him, He came back to them and attempted to reconcile again. The whole history of mankind, from the fall to the coming of Christ, was God reaching out when we didn't deserve it and making attempts of reconciliation to bring the world back to Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish. We all know, we've heard this how many thousands of times in our lives. He wants us to be reconciled to Him. And He's shown us the path to this reconciliation. Throughout the course of these weeks preparing for the fast, He's told us the attitude that we should have towards the fast. He's shown us that we should be humble like the publican. We should be kind to strangers and take care of those outside of us like the Good Samaritan. We should love the stranger, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. And today, He tells us we should learn to forgive. Brothers and sisters, let today be a day of forgiveness. In the early church, the congregation, before they received Holy Communion, would stand up and confess their sins to one another. Would get up in public humiliation and say, "This is what I have done wrong in my life. I've hurt you. I've hurt you. I've injured you. I've committed adultery." And the church's compassion knows that most of us don't have the strength to do that. So they've given us the mystery of reconciliation, where in the presence of the witness of the priest, we now confess our sins. In mercy, the church realizes most of us can't publicly confess what we have done because we're full of pride. We're full of ourselves. We want people to think well of us. And this is the spirit, brothers and sisters, which prevents us from learning to forgive other people. What will they think of me? What will people think of me if after this man has wronged me so much, I forgive him? I want justice. St. Isaac the Syrian had said, when we speak of God being just, we must understand that He is merciful. God forgives us with a greater love than we could ever forgive another human being. Not only does He forgive us, He forgets. He forgets. How many of us, when we forgive, we may reconcile, but we don't forget. We don't forget. We harbor it. We still hold that kernel of the wrong which was done to us in our hearts. And we haven't learned to let it go too, to forget. We have the kind assurances from our Father in heaven that that if we forgive those who have wronged us, He will forgive us and remember our sins no more. So what a tremendous treasure this is, to have a God who will not remember the wrong we have done. And all He asks of us, brothers and sisters, is that we learn to forgive. Let us seek forgiveness with our whole heart. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.